That's the reality for true believers. If you're a true believer, this life is not it. And if this world is it for you, something is very wrong. We are those who are to set our minds on the things above, not the things of earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are temporary residents here on this earth.
Welcome to this Thursday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lunstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. Well, Greg, today we'll read about the death of Abraham's wife, Sarah, the entire half sentence of it.
That's right, Dave. And once again, Abraham is an example for us. So let's discover what God's Word has to say about how we should respond to a loved one's death in Christ. Would you turn with us in your Bibles, if you have one, to Genesis chapter 23, and we're going to begin with verse 1.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
There's a big difference between a funeral for someone who does not know Christ and someone who does. Those who don't know Christ have no hope beyond this grave. The relatives have no hope because their loved one has passed away into judgment and an eternity apart from Christ. For those of you who don't know Christ, if you've ever lost a loved one, you understand what I'm saying. There's that reality that they are not around anymore. And we need to recognize the death rate is one per person. We're going to die, right? Death is something that everyone is confronted with because of sin. Apart from those who are in Christ, when he is alive, when he comes, each one of us will experience physical death. Now, although we as believers have hope, at times of the death of a loved one, we can be very discouraged at times if we don't have the truth permeating our hearts as we grieve. And today, I believe we're going to see and we're going to be reminded of God's truth, how we are to respond to the death of a loved one. We're continuing our look through the book of Genesis. We've come to chapter 23, in which we come upon Abraham's faith in the midst of the death of his wife. And given, as we read this passage, it seems kind of odd that there's so much time spent, as we will see, on finding a burial place for Sarah in light of Sarah's death. But we need to understand that all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be adequate equipped for every good work, and that God has an intended meaning in this passage for us to understand. So with this in mind, turn your Bibles with me to Genesis chapter 23. And again, we've been studying the book of Genesis. This is a book written by Moses, inspired by the Spirit. Obviously, it is written by the Lord himself through Moses. And it was written initially for the Israelites who were poised to enter the land. And yet, as we know, it is certainly profitable for us. These things were written for our instruction, as we see in 1 Corinthians 10, that we would not crave evil things. After giving the history of mankind, really from the perspective of God's perfect creation, then man's fall into sin, we came to a portion where God's redemptive plan began to take shape. As we saw that through Abraham's seed, there would one who would come who would bring salvation, blessing, that in Abraham's seed, all the nations would be blessed. And we've been looking at the life of Abraham, a man who responded to the Lord's call, who believed and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. And we've seen his walk of faith, not perfect, but yet growing. We've seen him respond. And along with this, we see in the New Testament that Abraham truly is the paradigm of faith. He is the paradigm of those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord. Now, if you were with us 2 weeks ago, we came to a pinnacle in the life of Abraham, where we saw God's testing of Abraham, where he called upon Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac, that promised son, his one and only son from that perspective, the one in whom all the promises would come forth. And Abraham did, and he went to worship the Lord in this, and he understood that God could raise the dead. And the Lord stopped him. And we see in that context that Abraham's faith worked as he obeyed the Lord in one of the biggest tests you could ever think of. And we saw that that account foreshadowed many elements of what Christ would do for us. that God the Father gave his only begotten Son, even to the point of sacrificing him, that the Lord did not stop or withhold his only Son, but he sacrificed him in our place. We saw that foreshadowed what Christ would do for us, dying for us. Now, coming on the heels of Abraham's test, we come to a portion which is another test in a sense. We've seen in towards the end of the life of Abraham testing in relationship to the promise of his seed. Now we're going to see testing in relationship to the promise of the land. Again, turn to Genesis chapter 23, and we're going to see how we as believers are to respond to the death of a loved one. Verse 1 of Genesis 23. Now Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Then Abraham rose from before his dead and spoke to the sons of Heth, saying, I am a stranger and a sojourner among you. Give me a burial site among you, that I may bury my dead out of my sight. And the sons of Heth answered Abraham, saying, Hear us, my lord. You are a mighty prince among us. Bury your dead in the choicest of our graves. None of us will refuse you his grave for burying your dead. So Abraham rose and bowed to the people of the land, the sons of Heth, and he spoke with them, saying, If it is your wish for me to bury my dead out of my sight, hear me, and approach Ephron, the son of Zohar, for me, that he may give me the cave at Machpelah, which he owns, which is at the end of his field. For the full price, let him give it to me in your presence for a burial site. Now Ephron was sitting among the sons of Heth, and Ephron the Hittite answered Abraham in the hearing of the sons of Heth, even all who went into the gate of his city, saying, No, my lord, hear me. I give you the field, I give you the cave that is in it, in the presence of the sons of my people, I give it to you. Bury your dead. And Abraham bowed before the people of the land, and he spoke to Ephron in the hearing of the people of the land, saying, If you only please listen to me, I will give you the price of the field. Accept it from me, that I may bury my dead there. Then Ephron answered Abraham, saying, My lord, listen to me. A piece of land worth 400 shekels of silver, what is that between me and you? So bury your dead. And Abraham listened to Ephron, and Abraham weighed out for Ephron the silver which he had named in the hearing of the sons of Heth, 400 shekels of silver, commercial standards. So Ephron's field, which was in Machpelah, which faced Mamre, the field and the cave which was in it, and all the trees which were in the field that were within all the confines of its border, were deeded over to Abraham for a possession in the presence of the sons of Heth before all who went in at the gate of the city. And after this, Abraham buried Sarah, his wife, in the cave of the field at Machpelah, facing Mamre, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. So the field and the cave that was in it were deeded over to Abraham for a burial site by the sons of Heth. Now, an initial reading of this, you might say, wow, there sure is a lot concerning this burial site and this deal between Abraham and the sons of Heth and Ephron the Hittite. There's a ton on that, and there's very little related to the death of Sarah. It's actually pretty clear. Sarah died. That's all it's spoken of. And Abraham grieved. It's pretty brief. Why would we have so much written concerning about securing a tomb and so little about Sarah's death? Was it that Abraham didn't care about Sarah? That he cared more about a place to bury her? I don't think so. The answer comes in the inspired author's intent for us. And we need to ask the question, why would Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, give us the basic facts of Sarah's death and then spend so much time on these interactions, detailed interactions between Abraham and with the Canaanites and this Hittite to secure a purchased plot for a burial site? It's my thought as I studied this that the Lord wanted the Israelites who were initially to receive Genesis and those who would read afterwards to recognize that Abraham is responding to Sarah's death in the context of faith. We're going to see that, I believe. More specifically, that his faith was related to the promise that God had made over and over again that he and his descendants would inherit the land. As we saw in Genesis 22:17, that his seed shall possess the gate of their enemies. So that I believe from this passage, we're going to learn some valuable lessons, not in how to barter with the sons of Heth, but valuable lessons concerning really how to deal with death. I think we're going to see that, how Abraham deals with death in the context of faith. So with that in mind, how are we to deal when a loved one in Christ dies? Now, certainly when someone out of Christ dies, we can't say if someone is saved or not by looking at them particularly. We can look at their behavior and say, wow, if that's what's going on in their hearts, if someone continually habitually sins, 1 John, they're of the devil. But the reality is also that there are those who claim the name of Christ. And some aren't saved and some are. We don't know. But there are those who don't know Christ, and they have clearly declared they do not believe in Jesus Christ. They have clearly declared that, and we can say by virtue of God's word that they did not go into the presence of the Lord. But what a difference for those of us who have believing relatives and those who die in the faith. How are we to respond when a loved one dies? Because it's going to happen if it hasn't happened already. Because of sin that entered into the world, we will all go back to the dust. The reality is here. How are we going to respond when someone in Christ dies? First of all, I think we need to remember from this lesson here that we are temporary sojourners on this earth. Again, verse 1, chapter 23. Now, Sarah lived 127 years. These were the years of the life of Sarah. And Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that is Hebron, in the land of Canaan. And Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her. Here we see Sarah dies at 127 years. That would place the son of the promise, the miraculous birth which brought forth Isaac, that which only God could do, would place Isaac at 37 years old. And we have this simple statement, and Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that was the former name of it, that is Hebron in the land of Canaan. She died. We know back in chapter 13 that Abraham had settled in Hebron by the oaks of Mamre. This is just south of Jerusalem in the land of Canaan. It is the same place where the Lord had appeared to Abraham in chapter 18. And yet Abraham and Sarah, as we know in the latter chapters, had journeyed or sojourned to Beersheba, and they dwelt there for a while. And yet it is apparent that they have returned to Hebron. And Sarah died. She died. And now there's something really important I think we need to see that will really help us interpret this passage. Notice in verse 2, and Sarah died in Kiriath Arba, that's Hebron. It's very, very clear. In the land of Canaan. In the land of Canaan. We're going to see in the end of our passage that the inspired author makes it very clear that Sarah was buried in the land of Canaan. We're going to see the term sons of Heth quite a bit. Heth was one of the sons of Canaan. They were those who were in the land of Canaan. There's a lot about Canaan here. I think that's going to help us. So here we have the focus is not so much that Sarah died, but that she died in the land of Canaan and was buried there. Now, it's important to realize that the New Testament says concerning Sarah. We need to remember what God's word has declared concerning Sarah. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. She died in faith, looking for a better country, a heavenly one. Look at verse 13 of Hebrews chapter 11. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11 says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises. Well, who are all these who died in faith? Everyone who was just spoken of, including Sarah. Look at verses 11 to 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. And this is a tremendous statement. She considered him faithful who had promised. She believed the promise, but she didn't just believe the words. She considered the one who made the promise faithful. That's true faith, by the way. Therefore also there was born of one man, and him as good as dead, that's Abraham, at that time, as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Remember, even though Sarah had exhibited a lack of faith previously, hadn't she? You look back at the Hagar incident where she tried to bring forth an heir by the flesh. That wasn't good. You look back in chapter 18 where she was laughing when the Lord had declared that by the next year she would have a son. And yet we see Sarah coming around. By the time that Isaac was conceived, she believed and considered him faithful. And if you'll remember, we also saw that Sarah in chapter 21, when she knew the promise would come through Isaac and Ishmael was persecuting Isaac, Galatians chapter 3, that she told Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son. And the Lord affirmed that that was his will. She was following the Lord. She was a woman of faith by this time. She had trusted the Lord. And here, she understood also that she was a temporary resident on the earth. Look at verse 13, Hebrews 11. And all these died in faith, that's speaking including Sarah, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. God had got a hold of Sarah's life. And she is included in this group who confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. She was one who trusted the Lord. For those who say such things make it clear they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they went out of, they would have had an opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. He is Sarah's God. God was Sarah's God. She was a woman of faith. Yes, she failed, but she came around. She believed. She considered him faithful. And the scripture says she died in faith. All these died in faith. She is a believer. She is a believer. And back in our passage, we see that she died in the land of Canaan. Abraham, as we saw in Hebrews, and we'll see in a minute, understood with Sarah that they were temporary residents looking for a heavenly country. That's the reality for true believers. If you're a true believer, this life is not it. And if this world is it for you, something is very wrong. We are those who are to set our minds on the things above, not the things of earth. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are temporary residents here on this earth. So this life is not it. We are temporary sojourners on a fallen earth on our way to a perfect eternity with our Lord. Yet we're going to experience death if we're not here when the Lord comes. You see, as a consequence of sin, Genesis 3, there is death. But the Lord said also in Genesis chapter 2, in the day that you'll eat, you shall surely die. Adam and Eve not only died physically later, they died spiritually. You see, sin causes a separation between us and God. And if you die in your sins, you will experience the second death. First, you will be judged for your sins, and then you will be put in the lake of fire for all eternity. And if you or a loved one dies in your sins, there is no hope. But God's a gracious God. We can take comfort that even those loved ones who died in their sin, that God was gracious to give them an opportunity to believe. And that through their own volition, because of a love of sin, they have rejected God's gracious offer of salvation in Christ. That doesn't comfort us completely in that context, but we know God is good. And we know he is just. Yet the reality is not this for true believers. We do not grieve like those who have no hope. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, I don't have time to teach through this passage, but I'd like to point out some very pertinent things concerning what God has to say concerning believers in the church who die before Christ comes. Now, we're going to talk about Sarah. She's an Old Testament saint, but right here we're looking at what applies to us believers in the church. Now, the Thessalonian church had been saved for about a year, and they had learned a lot of truth within that time. And Paul did not hold back from sharing truth with them. But yet they were ignorant of some realities. And that ignorance was causing them to grieve unnecessarily. So what does Paul do to address their lack of understanding? He shares verse 13 of 1 Thessalonians 4. But we do not want you to be uninformed, or literally ignorant, brethren. This speaking of believers, and he says, brethren, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as the rest who have no hope. Now, the term asleep here is a euphemism for death. Certainly for believers, it's a good euphemism because our bodies will awake. Our spirits will be with the Lord, as we will see, but we will rise. It is though we are asleep. And certainly sleep speaks of inactivity of the body. It's a euphemism. We see later on, he uses it to describe the believer who has died. Those who have fallen asleep in Jesus, verse 14, the end of that. Verse 16, it's clarified with the phrase, the dead in Christ. Remember when the Lord Jesus was talking about Lazarus has fallen asleep, and then he had to say it plainly, he's dead. But for believers, death is not it, as we will see. So with this in mind, what happens when we die? Our bodies go in the grave. Our bodies go in the ground, just like Sarah. But eventually that body will rise. Yet there's more to us than just our bodies. We are spirit or soul. And concerning the spiritual aspect of death, Scripture is not silent concerning that. When a believer dies, his spirit immediately goes into the presence of the Lord. Philippians chapter 1. The Apostle Paul says in verse 21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I am to live on the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose. But I am hard pressed from both directions, having the desire to depart and be with Christ. That is very much better. Yet to remain on is necessary for your sake. The Apostle Paul saw his life here as to serve the Lord by serving the body of Christ. Otherwise, it's better to be with Christ. That's the only reason. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Let's turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So the body goes in the grave, but the spirit or soul goes to be with the Lord. Now, non-believers, that is not so. If you die apart from Christ today, you will find yourself in Hades in torment, awaiting your judgment and then the final second death. That could be the lot for you today. People die. Kids die. Adults die. You need to know where you stand with Christ. You need to know where you stand. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Therefore, always being of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. That's the reality. Right now, we're in the body, but we're absent from the presence of the Lord. But he says here, for we walk by faith, not sight. We are of good courage, I say. I prefer to be rather absent from the body and to be home with the Lord. When a believer dies, our spirits go immediately to the presence of the Lord.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. Today's message was both reassuring and sobering, Greg. Reassuring if we belong to Christ, and sobering if you do not belong to Jesus Christ. So, Greg, how does a person belong to Jesus?
You know, Dave, that's a great question. And the only way to belong to Jesus is to recognize your sinfulness, to humble yourself before God and turn to Him in repentance and faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and rose from the dead. The only way to be saved is to call upon the name of the Lord. So if today you have been convicted of your sin and your need of a Savior, would you turn to Jesus Christ? Would you call upon Him right now to save you? The Lord God is gracious, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lundstedt, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.